The new exhibit, Andrew Wyeth at 100, A Family Remembrance, is now open at the Fenimore Art Museum in Cooperstown, New York, through September 4th. The exhibition celebrates Andrew Wyeth's 100th birthday as expressed by his granddaughter and guest curator, Victoria Wyeth. It includes objects from Ms. Wyeth's personal collection, many never before exhibited, including Andrew Wyeth's sketches, studies, painting, artifacts, and ephemera, as well as Ms. Wyeth's own photographs of her grandfather. It also includes Andrew Wyeth's paintings from public and private collections. The exhibition will share an intimate view of the artist in his role as husband, father, and grandfather, and explore those relationships through art, artifacts, and photographs. On view will be two of Wyeth's most popular works, Master Bedroom and The Revenant. Victoria Wyeth joins us by telephone this morning. Victoria, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And we are also joined by the Director of Exhibitions at the Fenimore Museum, Chris Rossi. Chris, always a delight to see you.
Thank you. It's so good to be back.
Thank you very much.
What's up, Chris?
Hi, Vic.
Hi.
So let us begin with you, Chris, of how this whole thing got started.
Well, we had the pleasure of hosting an exhibition a few years back that was a retrospective of the Wyeth family. And we had the pleasure of having Victoria come up and lead some workshops and some presentations for us. And we really hit it off. And Victoria told me that she had a collection of photographs that she had made of Andrew Wyeth and her grandfather. And with his 100th, what would have been his 100th birthday coming up, we started talking about how to put this exhibition together. And what started with a photo exhibit quickly expanded to an exhibit that would include sketches, paintings, letters, other memorabilia, even his clothing and his paint supplies. And it brought us to the exhibit that we have today.
One of the things, Victoria, is that this, and Chris and I were talking about this right before we went on the air, of the personal nature of this exhibit. So give us a sense of what it has been like for you to work on something like this about your grandfather, especially on this birthday.
I mean, it's been awesome. And I know Chris said it would have been his 100th birthday. Chris, it's still his 100th birthday, honey. He's
okay.
Still here. We just can't see him. But I think it's been really interesting. You know, Chris will probably kill me for saying this, but I really have a problem with a lot of the shows that are done on my grandfather. I mean, there's everything symbolism and looking at mirror windows and thresholds, and I've just never heard such crap. So I just thought, well, let's do something that not only appeals to just, you know, the average person, but also to kids and to, you know, to people that don't have this, you know, Ivy League education. I mean, for example, I was reading a catalog that just came out of my grandfather the other day. I went to Harvard and Wesleyan and Bates, and I had to get a dictionary out, and I still didn't understand what the art historian was trying to say. So I think this show is just a wonderful tribute to him, and it's really kind of multi-sensory. I mean, you see the paintings, and you know, and you can see the feel like the paint on his you can't really feel it, but you can see the paint on his smock and his shoes. And I really think that this is, I believe this is how art history should be done, how shows should be curated, with the more personal side. I mean, I'm so sick and tired of hearing people examine his work that don't even know him, you know, and they're wrong. All the footnotes that they're using, they're incorrect, and they're still using the same sources over and over and over. So that's my little monologue.
Okay, well, two questions about your monologue. First of all, I don't see any reason why Chris would be upset by that, because, Chris, you got the good one. You got the good show.
Yes. No, I have no problem with what Victoria is saying, and I think it's what makes the exhibition unique and a must-have for people to come see, because it's a perspective you're not going to find elsewhere.
And also,
exactly.
And also, Victoria, why do you think that there is so much misrepresentation when it comes to your, I'm going to say your grandfather's work, but I would even go as far as to say your
stuff to say. I think people ran out of stuff to say, and they forget that, you know, his paintings are strong enough; they could just stand on their own, and we don't need to be told, like morons, what to think about his work. Just put the painting in front of us. He always said, "Everything I have to say is on the wall." You know, I think it's just, it's money. People want to make money, and they write these books that are so academic. And, you know, it's so sad because most people aren't even reading the academic essays. They're just reading the, they're just looking at the paintings, you know, in the catalog. Like, you know, I go on Amazon, I read every review, and, you know, this one guy wrote a review on a recent book, and he says, very disappointing, it's just so academic. Well, the show is not academic. It's fun. You know, I got a call the other day from my Aunt Phyllis, and this is my Uncle Jamie's wife, and it was so sweet. She said, this is the best tribute you could possibly give your grandfather for his birthday, and it's true. I really believe that. You know, my grandmother saw the catalog and burst into tears. You know, my parents were both over the wall, you know, over the moon, and just it's just, I think it's great. I think this is just the beginning for me of, you know, doing shows like this where I really look at objects that are related to the painting. And one of the suggestions that Chris had is that I did the all the text panels, so everything's written through my voice, which I think is really cool, you know, and I just think it makes it more fun that way.
One of the things that I was just in the question I just asked you about why there this misinterpretation regarding your father's work, but that could be said about your great grandfather's work. That could be said about your uncle's work.
They don't do it to Jamie, but they don't do this to Jamie and Ency the way they do it to Andy. The critics appreciate Jamie's brilliance as an artist and just kind of leave him alone, you know, in terms of symbolism. NC, I mean, give me a break. It's all these wonderful illustrations. How much can you delve into symbolism with that? Andy, oh, it's a tree, but it's not a tree. It's so much more. And, you know, I mean, there's this very interesting article in the New York Times over the weekend about how he objectifies African-Americans and, you know, and so forth. And if you actually read the essay that the New York Times article was based on, it's a lot of the footnotes are incorrect. You know, and it's a shame that people have to, you know, find all these different ways to approach his work instead of just looking at, let's look at how it's done. Let's look at the technical aspect. That's one of the things this show does. It really demonstrates the preliminary process behind the egg temper of the studies and so forth.
I grew up in a house that had a print of Master Bedroom prominently displayed, as I think probably many people do. I'm curious as to what it is like for you to create the show around these two beautiful, very popular works, Master Bedroom and The Revenant.
Well, that's your opinion. I didn't create the show around those two paintings. I created the show. Everything is equally as important to me. You know, I think Master Bedroom's great, but I also think, you know, there's this one temper of my grandmother called Outpost that is just fabulous, 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 fabulous. And there's another wonderful portrait of me called The Only Child that one of my best friends actually ended up buying so that we could have it in the show and all the studies with it. So I don't think it's fair to say. I mean, I think Master Bedroom is definitely something that pulls people in. But I don't think that that's, I mean, it's a star of the show, but there's so many things that are equally as beautiful.
Chris?
So I'm not a dog person either. So,
oh, really?
Know, he said, oh, I can't stand, I should watch my dog.
Was your grandfather a dog person?
Yes, my entire family loves dogs. You know, my grandmother said, I'm just so un-American. I said, thank you.
I mean, I don't see how that painting could have been done without a love for the dog, and especially even
why he said I'll never understand it. He said you don't love dogs because I think it's the fur and the fecal matter and everything. Oh, but he said if you love dogs, you'd understand this. I said why? He said, because this is what they do. They come in and they take over the bed, and you just fall in love with them. And I just don't get it, you know?
Yeah, I find that so interesting. I could talk to you just about that for 20 minutes because I just find it.
Well, you know what? My mother always says you blame the mother. I'm going to blame my parents. They wouldn't let me have dogs when I was growing up, and then they both got divorced and immediately got a dog. So go figure.
You
get me a dog. The next time I show up, there should be like a little puppy sitting outside of my apartment. It's a little bow.
Okay, so this is psychological. So you feel you were replaced by a dog, so screw them. You don't want them around.
I take that back. I had a boyfriend in 2010 who had a lovely dog, and I actually liked the dog more than the boyfriend. And I'd wait till my boyfriend left, and I'd hang out with the dog, and he'd play catch and so forth. And he was great. Duke. I was just a yellow lab. It was the best. Yeah. If I ever have kids, I will get a yellow lab. I'll promise you that. How about that?
I think that's fair. And because the yellow lab, I have a yellow lab. They're a beautiful, beautiful dog. They're wonderful dogs. Now, as far as, Chris, I'm interested in your perspective. Because, yes, this is that painting, and the others are quite a draw because they are so iconic.
They are. And for a lot of people who walk in the gallery and the first thing they see is Master Bedroom, it just knocks their socks off because this is an image that many people grew up with. And I'm a cat person, so what can I say about the dogs? But even it's a wonderful.
Chris, I love you.
Wonderful. It's a wonderful.
Chris is a crazy cat lady.
There you are.
How many cats do you have, Chris? How many cats do you have?
I've got three, so I'm on my way, but I'm trying to contain myself.
Oh no!
So, but the painting I think sets the tone for the exhibit. It's an incredible, beautifully, beautifully created painting. It's a family image and it's a warm image, so it's very welcoming when you come in the gallery. And then when you start poking around, you find these other treasures, including, I think my favorite are the letters that Vic lent to us.
Oh, yeah.
That are so beautiful. And I don't know if you want to talk about what's in them, Victoria, but I just think they're stunning, and it's something people haven't seen before.
Right. Okay. So when I went to college, my parents decided to get divorced the day I graduated high school. And so I went to college and wasn't having the best time. So my grandpa started writing me letters all the time. And what he would do is what was so cool about Andy, we're not going to call him Andrew, I'm going to call him Andy. He would write me these letters. Oh, we did this and this, but we miss you so much and we wish you were here. So it's not like he's going, nah, 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 you know, you're not here, you're at school. But he's saying, I wish you were here. And he's writing to me about what he's painting. And I mean, it was just wonderful. I think the funniest thing, though, is I was such a moron when I got them at college. They'd arrive in the mail. And when I went to Bates, the guy that ran the mailroom, he's like, oh, you got another letter. And I was always like, how would he know? Of course, the handwriting on the envelope was a dead giveaway. So I'd open up this letter and there'd be this awesome drawing with like $20 in it. And I was broke. So I was like, oh, my God, pizza money. Who needs the drawing? I just shoved the drawing, you know, in a drawer. And one of them, oh, God, we had to put, you know, like velvet over them because I stupidly hung them in the sunlight when I was in graduate school. I had no concept. They were just fun little I love you presents for my family. I never thought they'd be hanging in a museum. I certainly never thought I'd be on the radio discussing them. But,
so
yeah.
With that said, what is it like then to see them in a museum and to realize, to put it into a context for us of your grandfather and your family and your relationship?
It's surreal.
Yeah.
It's just surreal. I mean, I think that I'm still getting used to this. Okay. I mean, I'm very fortunate. I have a wonderful boyfriend who really keeps me centered, and he'll be like, okay, you're being a little cranky today, you know, time to calm down, which is great. But you know, it's like when I first arrived at the Fenimore, I mean, people were flying in from all over the United States for this show. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. You know, so it's still, and the coverage, we got the Wall Street Journal, we got Vogue magazine. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I hated high school. I went to this awful girls' school with the nastiest women you can imagine. And when I made Vogue magazine, I wanted to email it to all of them and be like, yeah, you know, karma's a bitch, isn't it? You know, can I say that on the radio?
You just did. You're good. You're fine. You know, when we talk about your grandfather being one of, if not the most popular American artist, I'm curious as to what you make of that, and also as to, actually, let me withdraw the question. Why do you think, what is it, do you think, that about your grandfather's work, critics be damned, put them aside, put all the stuff in the Times and everything else aside. Talk about why people are coming across the country to come to the Fenimore to see the work and to see the life of your grandfather, and why he touches us as,
oh my God, so
as
many
an
questions.
Artist.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
I'm sorry.
So first of all, okay.
I could talk to you all night, but go ahead.
Okay. So first of all, he has Okay, so let's start from scratch. To be a great artist, it's three things. You have to have the eye, you have to have the technical ability, and you have to have the ability to mix and apply the paint properly. His technical ability is off the charts. I would say this even if I wasn't his granddaughter. So even if you hate his subject matter and think that, you know, you need like a Xanax or a Zoloft after you leave his exhibition because you're so depressed, Jesus, he can paint a leaf like nobody else. So I think that what he does is he takes us and he kind of transports us to a different place. And he was such an emotional person, and he has this uncanny ability to feel these emotions and then depict what he's feeling emotionally in his paintings. I mean, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I remember the first time I burst into tears in front of one of his pictures. It was in 2005 at the Philadelphia Museum. He did this picture called Distant Thunder of my grandmother sleeping in the grass. And I just found myself weeping. Because it was so beautiful. The light, it was just, I couldn't believe it. When I was a young girl, his paintings used to drive me nuts. I'm like, where's the color? Come on, you know? And now it's like, oh my God, I love it. I will say the only thing that's hard about the exhibition for me, it makes me miss him so much.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But as you said, he's still very much with us and very much alive.
He is. And, you know.
And you see that in this exhibition, and I assume you see this in how his birthday is being celebrated across the art world.
Yes, definitely. I know that Post Office is doing stamps for his birthday. I'm sure he'd be all excited. But you know what he wanted for his birthday? He wanted like 6 black L.L. Bean turtlenecks that are like $12.99 each, and he was so happy. I get him his medium black L.L. Bean turtlenecks, and I bake him cookies. He says, oh, turtlenecks! I love turtlenecks! And he'd rip off his shirt and try, of course, but here's my grandmother with this fabulous painting she purchased for him, and he couldn't, you know, give a damn. And, you know, oh, turtlenecks, you know. So.
What is your, give us a sense of your connection now with the, sort of the family as a whole, and how you all do not work together to remember your grandfather and his work.
Okay, so there's really 4 of us left. There's Daddy, my Uncle Jamie, my Grandma Betsy, and me. Now, obviously, my father is married to my stepmother, who's wonderful, and my uncle is married to my Aunt Phyllis. But so the way it works, my grandmother is really not involved that much anymore. My uncle just, you know, doing his paintings, working with his shows. The Wyeth office really curates and helps, you know, other museums do exhibitions and so forth. And I think I said Daddy sells the paintings, and I'm just kind of starting to get involved with the curating aspect, which I love. But you got to get someone you like to work with. Chris is awesome to work with. You know, if I got some pissy curator that wouldn't, you know, that didn't like my energy and wanted purple walls, I mean, the show just wouldn't have worked,
right?
You know? I mean, Chris is just cool. I mean, she came to Philly, we went for sushi, we're measuring everything on the walls, you know, I love Halloween, so I had bats hanging all over my ceiling, so when all the paintings got shipped, I put a little bat in one of the paintings so she could hang it from her wall, a little I love you present for Chris. You know?
And it is. It's hanging in my office.
So there's many words I could use to describe you. Pissy, I don't think, is one of them, Chris.
Thank you.
But so for you to see the outpouring, Chris, of people coming and as Victoria mentioned, coming across the country to see this work and to be moved by it.
Yeah, it's been immensely gratifying because I feel like Victoria is really opening herself up to the world. I mean, this is very personal, reminiscent, what she's written in the exhibit and also her photographs, with a strong attachment to her grandfather and sort of putting your heart out on your sleeve there. And the response has been really terrific. We've got a guest book in the gallery, and people have been writing, you know, lovely, lovely responses to how they've been moved.
Crazy.
Yeah, by what's written on the walls, by the artwork, by the photos, by the memorabilia. And it's just been, I think, very successful and an opportunity for our visitors to see the Andy and Andrew.
And have we gotten reviewed yet? We haven't gotten any bad reviews, have we? I don't think so.
No. Nope.
Okay, good. Okay. You tell me if we do. Okay? I don't want to hear it.
Now, also, the other cool aspect of this is that you're spending time, Victoria, at the museum and being with taking people on tour and doing all that.
Of course I am. How could I not? I mean, how could you do a show and then not be there? Seriously. So what we've got set up, there's three things. There's guided gallery talks in the evening that are about an hour long where I take the guests through the entire show. The big thing is they're called Food for Thought lectures.
Yes.
One is a dinner and one is a lunch. The dinner one's July. The lunch one's in August. And it's really cool. I do like an hour and 15-minute PowerPoint showing just work that's not available to the public, which is really cool. So, I mean, they see the show, but then they see, like, the other pictures that he's, you know, really well known for, you know, and so forth. And then we have Take Your Grandparent to the Museum Day, which is a tour really just for kids and grandparents, where I teach the kids about how to look at art and how to kind of do oral histories of their grandparents.
That's a beautiful thing to do.
And then I go to Cooperstown has a Pizza Hut, and I love Pizza Hut. So I go to Pizza Hut after, and it's all good.
It's all good.
Even more food for thought.
Either Pizza Hut or the what's the Glimmer Glass? What's that fancy resort, Chris?
Oh, the Otisaga.
Otisaga, yeah.
Oh, my God. So I do Pizza Hut or Otisaga, and I just, oh, I love it.
It's
oh, my God.
Good,
they've got
yeah.
the best peas and filet. So good.
All right. So I also want to direct people, and Chris, you can tell people a little bit about the catalog. The catalog is beautiful. It really is.
Yes. We worked with a local designer in Hamilton to put together a catalog, Andrew Wyeth at 100th, a family remembrance. And it's, again, Victoria's writing, much of it, the copy that you'd see in the exhibit with many of the photos and the paintings and some of the sketches and letters that you would find in the exhibition. And that's available at Fenimore Art Museum in our bookstore.
Excellent. It's Andrew.
Signed. And there are signed copies, too.
Yes, woo-hoo. There are.
Yes, woohoo, indeed.
Now, have you even seen the show? Did you go see the show?
No. You know what? I have a dear friend here at the station who saw the show and told me I had to go see it. So I
better
have plans
go see
in coming
if you're
weeks.
Interviewing me, you better go see our show.
So because I want to hang out with you for a while. You sound really fun.
I can attest to that. Yes.
I want.
I
you,
love it.
If I go there, will you show me around the exhibit?
Of course I will.
Okay,
I'm going to charge
really
you. We're going to charge you $20 to, you know, for the tour. But of course I'll show you.
No, I'll pay. I promise.
Okay, good.
All right, excellent.
We had, you know, I'll tell you a great story real fast. We had a docent training because, you know, I trained all the docents.
Yep.
And there was this woman, and she really wanted to come. I said, $20, so she paid, and she came. I mean, like, I'm not benefiting from this, but it's like, you know, let's make the museum some money. Let's
That's
support
right.
our museum.
Let's do that. Indeed. Well, here people can find out more information about it. It's FenimoreArtMuseum.org. For God's sakes, pay your $20. It's FenimoreArtMuseum.org. And Andrew Wyeth at 100, A Family Remembrance. It's open at the Fenimore Art Museum in Cooperstown through September 4th. Chris Rossi, Victoria Wyeth, a love to you both, and thank you very much for being here this morning.
Oh,
thank
Chris,
you.
I love you. You're the best.
Thank you. Same here, Vic.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.